Good morning and welcome to this time of worship at First Presbyterian Church of Arlington. I'm Associate Pastor Chris Campbell, and just so you know, this morning will not be our typical full Sunday morning worship service, but we do believe God has given us a word to share with you this morning, and so we'll do that through scripture readings, prayer, and a message from Senior Pastor Rich McDermott. And we just hope to get back to our normal Sunday routine and rhythm as soon as possible. In this time, on Sunday mornings, we usually ask you to silence your cell phones and devices. And while we realize you might be watching this on a phone or a device, we just ask that you put away any other distractions, turn off the news, close your browsers, and we just ask for you to focus with us for the next 20 to 30 minutes here in this time. One big announcement we have is that we are pausing our Transform Capital campaign. The well-being of our members and doing whatever we can in partnership with other churches, schools, businesses, every sports team in the world to slow the spread of the coronavirus is paramount. And so we will resume the Transform campaign after Easter on Sunday, April 19th. That means the advanced commitment worship service scheduled for March 21st is also being pushed back. And our commitment Sunday will now be on May 3rd. We will be sure to get all that communicated to you clearly and often in the month to come. But in the meantime, this is a great opportunity to get caught up in your journal if you haven't been using that each day. And also, you should have received your generosity toolkit this week in the mail. This is a great time to study that. If you have a spouse or family, work through that together and continue your prayerful consideration of how you can partner with us in this Transform campaign. The church office will be open Monday through Friday as usual, and Pastor Rich and I will be available for pastoral calls if needed. We do recognize all this is pretty unprecedented, and so we're figuring things out as we go, much like most of the world is. We anticipate that some small gatherings will continue at the church. Please be in touch with your leaders. Pay attention to church-wide emails and messages that go out so you're informed of what's going on. But for now, our large gatherings are going to be canceled for the meantime. So this morning, the way this is going to work is we will have some scripture reading, a time of prayer, a second reading, and then a sermon from Pastor Rich. And we are really just thankful to God for technology that allows us to connect even in this way. We know it's very different. It's not what most of us are accustomed to. But we believe God is working through this for the benefit of His church and His people and His world this morning. So before we turn to our first reading, let us pray. O Lord, our God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Give us grace to receive your truth and faith and love, that we may be obedient to your will and live always for your glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Our first reading is from Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Listen now to the word of God. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "My servant Moses is dead. Now proceed to cross the Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the Israelites. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and the Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea in the west shall be your territory. No one shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall put this people in possession of the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to act in accordance with all the law that my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, so that you may be successful wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to act in accordance with all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall be successful. I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Saving God, you are the giver of living water, the source of deepest compassion, the fountain of eternal life. Therefore, we pray to you. We are a sinful people in a sinful world. We confess the wrongs we have done against you and our neighbor. We pray for your forgiveness, trusting you hear the pleas of the penitent. We believe in your grace and mercy. Help us to never take you and your gifts of new life for granted. Thank you for your indescribable love for us that never fails nor forsakes us. Today we pray for all who are thirsty, thirsty for a life of meaning, thirsty for a word of grace, thirsty for a drink of water. We pray for all who are weary, weary from life's long journey, weary from quarreling and testing, weary from pain or grief. We pray for all who are broken, broken by sin and suffering, broken by hard disappointment, broken by acts of violence. And we pray especially for our world in this midst of this pandemic. Lord, your love for us is never ending. Your faithfulness to us is unlike anyone or anything else. We know you are with us. May we turn to you for peace, comfort, strength, and perseverance. We pray for our leaders, and if nothing else, we praise them for abandoning partisanship in this time. We actually can live and work together as you intend for the good of your people. We pray for a spirit of continued partnership for all of our leaders, our president and vice president, congressional leaders, our governor, our mayors and community leaders. Protect them and guide them as they seek to best serve us. We pray for the doctors and nurses and staffs on the front lines, whether that be in hospitals, clinics, or nursing homes. Bless them as they cope with this incredible burden and added stress on top of already busy and stressful vocations. Keep them well and healthy as they aim to keep all of us well and healthy. We pray for the researchers working as hard and quickly as they can to develop a vaccine. You have blessed your people with incredible gifts of intellect and creativity, and we trust those gifts are at work for the sake of saving lives. Give them endurance and strength to push on. We pray for everyone across our planet dealing with the effects of this virus, whether they themselves are ill or have found themselves quarantined, either willingly or unwillingly. We pray these actions will have the desired effect of slowing the spread of this virus, and we can resume the normalcy of our lives. We pray for businesses of all sizes that will feel the effect of all of this if they are not already. We pray for all who are ill, whether that may be in mind, body, or spirit. For those lonely and isolated from community. For those burdened by guilt or grief, by depression or despair. May we, your church, find ways to be sources of compassion, grace, and mercy to a hurting and frightened world. Make us true neighbors to one another and true children of your own calling. Living God, through your Spirit, pour your love into our hearts, your grace into our lives, your healing into our world, until the earth is filled with your glory as the waters cover the sea. And now let us pray together wherever we may be, as our Lord taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Chris. Our second scripture lesson today is taken from the Gospel according to John, chapter 14, verses 15 to 21. Hear the word of God. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Good morning. Thank you for joining us online today. I'm Pastor Rich McDermott at First Presbyterian Church of Arlington, coming to you online today because we have chosen to join thousands of businesses, schools, teams, churches, and companies who have decided for the time being to practice social distancing. And we're doing that in order to help stop the spread of the harmful COVID-19 virus, otherwise known as the coronavirus. I've never had to close a church for such a thing in my lifetime, but after much prayer and study and discussion, I am now convinced that these kinds of measures, if taken early in the spread of a deadly contagious disease, can truly save thousands of lives. I'm glad to try to protect our older members and our members with other health issues so that they don't run the risk of harmful infection at large gatherings in our church like Sunday morning worship. Thank you for understanding in this difficult time in our country and in our world. We are also postponing, as Chris said, our exciting Transform Capital campaign so that we can give it the attention it deserves after Easter. But in the meantime, you can be perusing your Transform Journal and Transform Toolkit, which you should have just received in the mail this week. Thank you again as we seek to have 100% participation from everyone who calls FPCA their church home. Today I'm preaching about a topic related to one of the themes in our capital campaign, and it has to do with deepening our relationship with God. I'm calling it God's Great Desire for People. In my first year of seminary many years ago, I was walking across the campus with a friend named George Claddis. We saw an older gentleman walking, and we almost passed him by, but he looked inquiringly at us and said with a Scottish accent, "Excuse me, I'm looking for the Bruce Metzger lecture this evening. Could you please direct me to it?" We told him, It was going to be starting in about an hour over at the seminary chapel. And George then invited the gentleman over for some tea in his dorm room in Alexander Hall. He said, "Oh, that would be most kind of you." We chatted for a while and exchanged names, and he said, "My name is Matthew Black." And I thought, well, that's a nice name, and I had no idea who he was. But my friend George knew. Matthew Black was, along with Dr. Bruce Metzger, one of the greatest New Testament textual scholars in the world. The two of them, together with three other Greek scholars, helped to write and edit the Greek New Testament published by the United Bible Society, used by Greek students and scholars all over the world. And as you know, not all world-famous professors are particularly approachable and friendly. But when my friend George asked him, "Are you the Matthew Black who is the great New Testament Greek scholar?" Dr. Black said, "Well, I don't know about great." And as we both began to gush about how wonderful it was to meet him, he deflected all the praise and instead proved to be an extraordinarily humble and faithful person. He asked us questions about life at the seminary, about our calling to be pastors and what we were studying, and he wanted to know how we liked it there and if we had had classes with Dr. Metzger. He seemed genuinely interested in these two young first-year seminary students, and he thanked us profusely for later walking over with him to the chapel to hear Dr. Metzger. Matthew Black had taught at Glasgow, Edinburgh, and St. Andrews. He had 3 earned doctorates and 4 honorary doctorates. When we met him, he was preparing to study for 2 years at the Princeton Institute for Advanced Study, where Albert Einstein was for many years. For a new seminary student like me, meeting Matthew Black was like meeting a famous rock star. If I hadn't been with George, I might have met him, directed him to the lecture, and never had a clue who he was. But by the grace of God, I have a wonderful memory of meeting a truly impressive servant of God. Dr. Black passed away in 1996 at St. Andrews, leaving a great legacy of Christian faith and scholarship to Scotland and to the world. Now, I tell you this story because this is not unlike how God shows up in our lives. He comes to us in the everyday events and people of our lives. And if we are not ready, we may miss even knowing that he has been with us. We may think that God is too big and too busy to be caring about us. But that would be terribly mistaken. Just like that world-renowned professor Matthew Black wanted to spend time with a couple of neophyte students, God actually cares about us. He wants to be with us, and he enjoys our company. He wants to know about the little details in our lives and to encourage us in the tough times of life, including times like now as we try to fight the coronavirus. In fact, the Bible isn't primarily about the desire of people to be with God. The Bible is primarily about God's great desire to be with people. Sometimes we think that the central promise of God in the Bible is, "I will forgive you," and that's a very important truth for us to know. We might think that the promise of a life that extends beyond our mortal life is a key promise of the Bible, and that also is important. But it really isn't the central promise of the Scriptures. The most frequent promise in the Bible given by God is, I will be with you. John Ortberg reminds us of how before Adam and Eve ever sinned and needed forgiveness, God promised his presence to them and he walked with them in the cool of the day. God's presence was promised to Enoch, to Noah, to Abraham, to Sarah, to Jacob and to Joseph, and Moses and Joshua and David and Amos and Mary and Paul and too many others to list. It is the reason for courage. Do not be afraid, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go, the Bible says. The Lord's presence keeps us going in the darkest times. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. God gave Israel the tent of meeting and the ark of the covenant and manna in the temple and a pillar of cloud and another one of fire so that they would have many reminders that said, don't forget, I am with you. If you were around here at First Presbyterian Church around Christmas time, you would have heard me preach about the importance of the title given to Jesus when he was called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Some of Jesus' final words to his disciples were, behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And from the book of Revelation, at the very end of time, when we see the consummation of history has come, we read that a loud voice from the throne says, see, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. Dallas Willard and Richard Foster write that the unity of the Bible is discovered in the development of life with God as a reality on earth, centered in the person of Jesus. So we see that the Lord is determined that you should be in every respect his friend, his companion, his dwelling place. We are hopeful that each person who is a part of our fellowship will take seriously their own spiritual growth in these weeks during Lent. Now is a great time to find a partner and to begin a new spiritual discipline of prayer, study, Bible reading, service, compassion, or spiritual conversations. Even in this time when we are separated by social distancing, we have plenty of work to do. The Pew Research Center indicates that those who are religiously unaffiliated are on the rise in our country. While 80% of Americans still believe in God with certainty, many are sliding into a theology of the higher power rather than a faith in the God of Christianity. But we can tell them about that God of Christianity, and we should remember and we should share with them that God has a great desire for people. John Ortberg tells the story of Sophia Cavalletti, a researcher who has pioneered the study of spirituality in young children. She finds that children often have an amazing perception that far surpasses what they've already been taught. One 3-year-old girl raised in an atheistic family with no church contact and no Bible in the home asked her father, where did the world come from? He answered her in strictly naturalistic, scientific terms, and then he added, there are some people who say that all this comes from a very powerful being, and they call him God. And at this, the little girl started dancing around the room with joy. I knew that what you told me wasn't true. It's him. It's him. This was a 3-year-old girl. Ortberg talks about Jacob running away from Esau in Genesis 28, verses 10 and following, and stopping at a certain place that didn't seem very special. And Jacob has a dream about a ladder that stretched from heaven to earth with angels ascending and descending on it. And the Lord came and stood beside him and promised Jacob anew that they would have land and many offspring, and that through Jacob's descendants, all the families of the earth would be blessed. The Lord said to Jacob, "Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go." Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid, and he said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." Notice that Jacob does not envision himself climbing the ladder, but rather the heavenly beings, the angels, ascend and descend on the ladder. And then it is the Lord who comes to Jacob and announces the promises of God afresh once again. And all of a sudden, Jacob sees that in that nondescript place, the Lord appears. And so Jacob calls that place Bethel, the house of God, and declares that it is a gate of heaven. Jacob wasn't prepared for this revelation until God showed him in a dream. Then he realizes that God can show up anywhere, and that God will come to find us in just about any place. Then we read from Joshua chapter 1. It speaks of a precarious time. Moses had died. All of Israel mourned the loss of the greatest leader they had ever known. Moses had laid his hands on Joshua, who was given a spirit of wisdom, but the future now seemed uncertain, just like it does for us with this virus outbreak today. Now the Lord speaks to Joshua and says, "As I was with Moses, so I shall be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall put this people in possession of a land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. Only be strong and very courageous." And the final verse says, "I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Joshua obeyed the Lord. He was strong and courageous because he knew the Lord, the God of Israel, was with him. As Jesus himself prepared to go to Jerusalem for the final week of his mortal life, both he and his disciples knew that it was a precarious time. The future seemed uncertain, but Jesus promises his disciples the advocate, the Spirit of truth, would be with them forever. Jesus says, "You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you." And he concludes by saying, "Those who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father. And I will love them and will reveal myself to them." We demonstrate our love for Jesus when we follow him and when we obey his commands to us. That is when he will manifest or reveal himself to us. James Loder was my favorite professor at seminary. I took as many classes from him as I could, and when I tell you this story, you will know why. Dr. Loder once pulled his car over to help a woman change her tire, and while he was under her car, another vehicle swerved and hit the back of her car, shoving the car off of the jack and onto Dr. Loder's chest. 5 of his ribs were broken, his left lung was pierced and was filling with blood, and his thumb was severed in the accident. His wife, Arlene, who is 5 feet tall, saw it happen, and when she realized that Jim was under the car, she placed her hands on the bumper and she prayed in the name of Jesus Christ and lifted the car off of him. He was able to crawl out. He was rushed to the hospital with several doctors believing that his chances of survival were minimal. Before they made a single incision or gave him any oxygen, his skin color began to change from ashen back to pink. He began to sing, "Fairest Lord Jesus," and his lungs began emptying themselves of the blood. He found out later that at that very moment, his father-in-law, a pastor in Minnesota, had his whole congregation praying for Jim. So he experienced a miraculous healing, and he was never the same. He decided to seek ordination as a teacher pastor, and students like me would hurry to get to his class on time just to hear him pray at the beginning of his class. You see, Jesus had revealed himself to Jim Loder in a powerful and a literally saving way, and he never forgot it. Neither did I. Friends, Jesus is closer than we think. He wants to be with us at every moment and every hour. He wants to touch us, to heal us, to save us, and to be with us. But are we prepared to let him do it? Then I urge you to be strong and be very courageous, for the Lord our God is with you wherever you go. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you so much that in this crazy time of the coronavirus, you are still with us, and you desire for us to be strong and courageous. And so we ask that you would give us, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that strength and courage that you desire for us. For we ask these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. God be with you.